I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. One day after Israel's general election, and there's no clear winner, the leaders of the two largest parties, Kadima and Likud, now have to negotiate with several potential coalition partners. Kadima's Tzipi Livni says she wants to lead a national unity government, but Likud's Benjamin Netanyahu is determined to be the next prime minister. The World's Quill Lawrence is in Jerusalem. So, Quill, Tzipi Livni pulled off a very narrow victory last night. How'd she do it?
People are still analyzing that. She won by one seat ahead of Benjamin Netanyahu here. Everyone calls him Bibi. He had been predicted for months to be ahead and was and he was saying that he was going to have a commanding lead and would be able to form a government very easily. Instead, Livni eked out a victory. Some people are saying perhaps it was a women who came out and voted for her, especially after the Likud started a campaign that was, some people thought it was subtly sexist. Their slogan was essentially that Israel's problems were too big for her. And while that was meant perhaps as a personal attack against Livni, it's possible that women in Israel took it as a sexist attack and maybe they came out in stronger numbers.
And this narrow victory, as you said, it's by just one vote and neither party has a majority. So does that mean that Livni's not really won yet?
Well, in Israeli politics, no single party has ever gotten the 61 seats outright that's needed to make a government. It's always been coalition. But this is a hard one because while Livni has taken the lead and therefore she gets the first chance to form a government coalition with her at the head as prime minister, the right-leaning parties that would traditionally form a bloc have 65 seats between them. So they've got the most obvious chance of forming a government. It remains to be seen how they're going to haggle and try and divide these smaller parties between them.
We've spoken already, Quill, in the past few days about the horse trading that is just part of Israeli politics, especially when it comes to Mr. Avigdor Lieberman, this right-winger who's run in the election as well. Has that horse trading already begun?
Yes. Now, he got 15 seats. He had predicted that he would get more, and because he surged towards the end, people thought he might do better than he did. It's still a big block. He beat out the Labor Party of Ehud Barak, the current defense minister. He is potentially the kingmaker, and Livni wasted no time in meeting with him today. Now, it's interesting because he leans to the right, but he's not very popular among the religious right here. And he had been a former staff member for Benjamin Netanyahu's previous government and close to Netanyahu. It's assumed that he naturally falls in with the right-leaning bloc. But he may just be trying to sort of bid up his value, telling Likud that you can't take me for granted. I'm going to go open a channel of discussion with Livni. After that meeting, Livni said that they're going to be continuing discussions in the coming days.
What kind of effect will these results, as early as they may seem to be right now, what kind of effect are they going to have on peace talks?
Well, because these are going to be coalition governments, whoever gets to form one, there's a lot of speculation that it's much easier to get Israeli parties together and behind attacking or, I guess, making war on their enemies than it is making concessions to the people across the line. You can see that with this recent offensive in Gaza, where all of the parties stepped into line and supported this offensive. Even the far left-wing parties said that they supported the offensive in Gaza. It's going to be much harder to get that sort of a broad coalition when you're talking about very painful concessions.
And finally, Quill, I just have to ask you this because it's the most odd story I've come across in the past 2 weeks, at least in terms of Israeli politics. The Holocaust Survivors Party merging with the Legalized Cannabis Party. How did they do as a single unit, and are they in any position to leverage anything with a new government?
Yes, the Legalized Cannabis and / Holocaust Survivors Party is not expected to be a major factor in the coalitions. They got together mostly because they wanted to draw attention to both of their causes. I think their slogan was that they'll ease the suffering of the survivors in their final years. It was a gimmick that I suppose worked for both sides, since otherwise you and I wouldn't be talking about them.
The World's Quill Lawrence in Jerusalem. Thanks, Quill.
Thank you, Marco.